This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما ثم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله جل وعلا وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أجارني الله وإياكم من النار. My brothers in Islam, a believer is supposed to recognize what his problems are. And the biggest of all problems that a person would ever experience and face in his life are his sins. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from time to time, He gives us opportunities in where we are able to clean ourselves from sins. Opportunities are given. Ramadan is an opportunity in where you earn complete forgiveness of your sins. Qiyamul layl, praying the nights, At-Tarawih is also an opportunity in which Allah Azza wa Jal gives you and I to cleanse and clean ourselves from sins. Wa Laylatul Qadr as well. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Man qama Laylatul Qadri imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbih. That the one who was to seek Laylatul Qadr out of iman, iman sincerely for Allah, and he believes that there is such a thing called Laylatul Qadr, wahtisaban, seeking Allah's reward, what's the result? غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, that Allah Azza wa Jal forgives him for his sins. Ramadan is an entire month in which Allah Azza wa Jal gives you and I as an opportunity to come out of our sins like we come out of our mother. You come a newborn out of your mother. This is what Ramadan is. Then, a few months after, Dhul Hijjah will come. Dhul Hijjah, the month and the season of Al-Hajj, is another opportunity in when we earn complete forgiveness of our sins. The day of Arafah is also a day in which we earn complete, or we earn forgiveness of a sins of a future year and a past year. Then give it a few days and Muharram would come. And the 10th of Muharram is also another opportunity to earn a complete forgiveness of 1 year worth of sins of the previous sins. And so on. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that when a person makes wudu, his sins drop as he makes wudu. And your salat from one salat to another is a forgiveness of sins between these salat. One Ramadan to another is a forgiveness of sins. You find that al-Sharia in al-Quran wa sunnah, it's full of teaching us what opportunities Allah gave us to completely cleanse us from our sins. You know what that means? It means that the biggest problem in life is sins. The biggest problem we have in life is sins. Nothing else. I can ask you here, what is your problems? Some of you might say, I got financial problems. Well, that's good. It'll end the day you die. That's it. Someone else, you'll say, my problems, I don't know, I have family problems, marriage issues. We can solve that. It's something on the side. No problems. If the marriage is not rectified, we can divorce. It's all right. And we go on. We move further in life. But the biggest problem you have in life are your sins. You know why? Because their consequences are not only in this life, but they follow you in the grave. And then they follow you in the hereafter. These are the consequences of sins. In this life, you live a life of misery, a life of distress. A person feels miserable. He's worried. He's depressed. He's anxious. Because of his sins. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described him, he said, Allah described the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sins, what they did to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine this, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not commit major sins, but he had sins that Allah referred to as in the Quran as sins. What did these, barely sins, what did they do to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this life? Allah azza wa jalla, he says, وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ. And we removed your sins. Allah said, we removed your sins. What did these sins do to him? الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ. It was almost about to snap your back. It was about to break your back. They were so heavy that that's the only thing that bothered him at that moment. And as a mercy, Allah removed his sins. As a mercy, as a gift. It is a gift and a mercy from Allah that He cleanses us from our sins. This is the state of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I tell you, my brothers and sisters in Islam, you might sit here and count a million problems for me, but the essence of these problems are sins. The essence, the foundation. These problems only came because of sins. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. That corruption, the land has become full of corruption. And the ocean is full of corruption because of what the hand of man has committed. And he commits sins. You see that? Then when a person dies, problems are not over. Problems are not over. The sins, they have consequences even in your grave. So, Azabul Qabr comes as a result of a person's sins. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us that he passed by two graves and two people in the grave were being punished. And then he said that one of them was punished. وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ. Well, there was major, but they were punished because of a sin. One of them, لَا يَسْتَتِرُ مِنْ بَوْلِهِ. Meaning when he used to urinate, he didn't care whether the urine splashed back on him and najasa splashed back on him or not. In another meaning, yastatiru min bawlih, meaning he never used to cover himself when he used to urinate. And the other thing was, wakana yamshi bin namimah. And the other person, he used to walk bin namimah, gossip. He used to take some words from a person and deliver it to someone else in bad intention, so he can cause enmity, friction between two. And from the other person, he'd go back to the original person and spread some hateful words so they can hate each other. And he's being punished in his grave until the day of judgment. A person that prayed, did not pray Salat al-Fajr and slept straight through Salat al-Fajr. There's an angel standing on his head with a boulder, smashing it on his head until the day of judgment. Every time it rolls over, he gets it once again and he throws sins, sins. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us how he saw the one who used to consume al-riba, how he was being punished, and how the one who used to commit al-zina, how he was punished, and the one who used to lie and how he was punished. Sins, consequence, not only here. You're living misery here, and then in the grave you're living misery. And now, when a person is resurrected and comes out of his grave, you think it's over. A person is going to be experiencing the consequences of his sins on the plains of the hereafter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, as the people are resurrected and they're gathered and the sun is 1 mile from their head. Qadri meel, this has two meanings. Al-meel could be the 1 mile distance. Well, meel in the Arabic language also means the eye of the needle. The eye of the needle, and when you put the string, the sun is just this much away from the people's head. بِقَدْرِ مِيل. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, and the people are sweating according to their sins. Some, they're sweating up until their ankle. Some until their knee. Some waist height. Some until their chest. Some are drowning in their sins. Some are drowning in their sins. Look at the consequence. And the biggest hadith of all, that would teach you how huge sins are and their consequences. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered and resurrected everyone, and we're all standing naked, barefooted, uncircumcised, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that moment is angry. And He has never been angry like this before, and He will never be angry like this ever after. This is the words of the hadith, in the hadith, in Sahih Muslim. So all of us, as mankind, we go to our father Adam alayhi salam. Maybe there's some solution with our father Adam alayhi salam. So we say, "Ya Adam, you're the father of mankind. You're the one who Allah Azza wa Jal created with His own hand. And can't you see our state? Can't you see our condition? Ishfa'lana inda rabbik. Intercede with your Lord. Maybe we can start the hisab. Accountability hasn't started yet. Hasn't started. No one has been asked anything yet." So Adam alayhi salam, he says, "My Lord is angry today. And He has never ever been angry like this before. And He will never be angry like this ever after. And I have committed a sin in my life." He's referring to when he ate from the tree. Then he says, "Nafsi, nafsi, idhabu ila ghayri. Idhabu ila ghayri." He says, "Myself today. Myself, I didn't care about anyone else. Go to someone else." My brothers in Islam, Adam alayhi salam committed one sin. He ate from the tree, that's it. And Allah forgave him. Allah recalled in the Quran, He mentioned that He had forgiven Adam already. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah forgave him already. What's the worry? Why is he worried for? But the sin is bothering him. The sin is bothering him. He doesn't dare to speak a word. He says, "Go to someone else. Go to Nuh alayhi salam." So we go to Nuh. "Ya Nuh, ishfa' lana 'inda rabbik. Intercede with Allah Azza wa Jal. Maybe the accountability can begin." Fanuh alayhi salam, he responds in the same manner Adam alayhi salam responds. He says, "My Lord is angry today. He has never been angry like this before, nor He will be angry like this ever after." And he says, "I had a dua, a da'wah, an accepted dua. I used it against my people. Nafsi, nafsi, idhabu ila ghayri." Nuh alayhi salam, 950 years in a da'wah. These are just the years he lived conveying the message to his people. 950 years. In which he's worried about a dua he made against his people, and that's stopping him from making a shafa'ah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made a dua. He said, "Rabbi la tathar ala al-ardi min al-kafirina dayyara." Oh Allah, destroy every disbeliever on the face of the earth. Don't leave any of them alive. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal answered that, and the great flood occurred, and the believers lived, and everyone else died. In nafsi, nafsi, idhabu ila ghayri, go to someone else. So we go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim, he says the same thing. "My Lord is angry today. He has never been angry like this before, nor He will be angry like this ever after." And he says, "Wa inni kadhabtu thalatha kadhibat." And I lied during my life three lies. Three lies. Even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith, he says, "Kadhabahum lillah." They were three lies for Allah's sake. And look at our situation. Today people are lying three lies in an hour. If there's people that lie more. There's the minimum. Three lies an hour. He's worried about three lies in his entire life. So he says, "Nafsi, nafsi, idhabu ila ghayri." Today it's about me. Go to someone else. So we go to Isa alayhi salam. He says the same thing. And he doesn't even mention a sin. And we go to Musa alayhi salam. And he mentions that he killed someone by accident. Allah has already forgiven him for that as well. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي فَغْفِرْ لِي فَغَفَرَ لَهُ. My brothers, are we aware of what we're sharing, the hadith? This hadith, These prophets that I mentioned, Adam, Nuh, Musa, Isa, these are ulul azmi min ar-rusul. Ulul azmi min ar-rusul. Yani these are the mighty, noble messengers of Allah. That's their state on the day of judgment. Imagine then the state of ash-shuhada and the state of as-salihin and then the state of you and I, people who commit sin day and night. Imagine then that state. Faith and the sins are the biggest problem in life. And I tell you something, you will never ever value and appreciate the gift of forgiveness until you understand how huge your sins are. And I repeat that so you can understand. You will never ever value and see the value of forgiveness unless you understand how huge your sins are and how big of an obstacle they are. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Ramadan is an opportunity to be forgiven from your sins. But what I'm saying is you will never appreciate this gift until you understand how huge your sins are. Until you recognize how much you are in need of Allah's forgiveness. Sins are an issue. And the people of the past used to see their sin. Yani it used to blind them. The one sin used to blind them. They were so bothered by it, they couldn't even move in life anymore. Do you hear the story of this lady that came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And she said, Ya Rasulullah, tahirni min az-zina. A woman in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, we can learn a lot from this woman. She came and she said, Ya Rasulullah, purify me from az-zina. Meaning implement Allah's law upon me because I committed zina. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he turned away from her. An indication to the fact that go, make a tawbah, don't come to me. Make a tawbah, Allah will forgive you, don't come. She insisted. She's back in front of his face. طهرني يا رسول الله, purify me. فذن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he attended to her. And he said, go and give birth and come back. Give birth, that's 9 months. She gave birth, she came back. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to her, go and look after this child. He's just newborn, he needs his mother. Had the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she goes, she breastfeeds him, she weans him. After 2 years, he is able to walk on his own. She comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the boy or in the kid's hand there is a piece of bread. An implication to that. Look, Ya Rasulullah, he can look after himself now. He's eating by himself and he's walking. So tahirni, cleanse me. This is 2 years plus three plus one. 3 years. She's bothered because of one sin. She can't move in life. Purify me. People today, when they are diagnosed with a sickness, may Allah Azza wa Jal give us a long life with good health. But there are people that are diagnosed with a sickness, cancer, let's say, wal-iyadhu billah. And he's bothered by his sickness. If you ask him, what's the biggest problem in life? My cancer. But did we know that the sin should bother you more than cancer? The sin is the cancer. Because the cancer, the sickness, if you remain patient, it's going to clean your sins. Bi'idhnillah, you'll meet Allah pure on the day of judgment. But until your sin is the actual cancer, what's going to cleanse you from that? If you don't rush to take and seize these opportunities Allah gives us, what's going to happen? فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم implements Allah's law upon her. And they stone her to death. And some of her blood came on one of the companions and he cursed her. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, do not curse her. She made a tawbah that if this tawbah was to be divided among 70 people of Al-Madinah, it would have been enough for them. Allah Azza wa Jal loved her and accepted her tawbah. Why? Because she understood how huge the sin was. She was worried and terrified. How am I going to stand before Allah on the day of judgment and be questioned about this zina? What am I going to say? What do I do? She's not ready. She's not ready to stand before Allah with this sin. Enter my brother in Islam. What sin do you have in life? Have you ever thought? How are you going to answer to Allah on the day of judgment? When you stand before Him and you're asked about your sins. Allah Azza wa Jalla, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in al-Hadith, He tells us how the state of a servant would be when Allah is questioning him. When Allah Azza wa Jal makes him acknowledge his sins. فَيُعَرِّفُهُ بِذُنُوبِهِ Allah Azza wa Jal would begin to mention to you your sin. Abdi, didn't you do such and such on such and such day? And you say, yes, yes. حَتَّى يَظُنُّ أَنَّهُ هَلَكُ Until the servant, يَظُن, meaning he's certain, he's destroyed. The servant would certainly be well and sure. He's going Jahannam, khalas, undestroyed. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us that the state of the one being questioned by Allah would be like this. Then Allah, with His mercy and His blessing, at the end He says to him, سَتَرْتُهَا عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا I covered your sins in this life. وَالْيَوْمَ أَغْفِرُهَا لَكَ And today I forgive you for your sins. وَالْعُلَمَاءَ رَحِمَهُمُ اللَّهِ They said a condition for your sins to be forgiven on that day is سَتَرْتُهَا عَلَيْكَ That you keep it covered. That you keep it covered. You don't speak about it. The one who covers his sin, there is a chance that Allah Azza wa Jal would forgive him on the day of judgment and admit him into the paradise. This is the problem, my brothers, our sins. Don't look at any worldly problem. Worldly problems can be solved. You can solve them eventually, end of the day, as big as they are, as small as they are. Winter, you have a problem by yourself, a sins. No one's going to solve that for you. No one can solve it for you. You're the only person to solve it. How much sincerity do you have? How much khushu' do you have? How many times have you begged Allah to forgive you? Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna. How many times have you said it? How many times? Have you rushed to seize these opportunities Allah gives us? The people's attitude in Taraweeh is all over the place. Some days I want to come, sometimes on my own, pray with the imam after Taraweeh and then walk off. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling you, من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. That if you were to pray Salat at Taraweeh, whether in congregation or at home, but don't miss the nights, then the result is غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Allah forgives him for his sins. طيب, my brothers in Islam, we have acknowledged and we have learnt right now in a few minutes what the problem is. That is sins. Quickly, I share with you a solution. No, and I can't leave without sharing with you a solution. So that we understand what's the highway, what's the quick way to the solution. What are we supposed to be upon? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. Abu Dharr came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said to him, Awsini ya Rasulallah, Awsini, give me advice. It's good from time to time to go to people that are more learned than you and ask them for advice. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم he said to him, إذا عملت سيئة فأتبعها حسنة تمحها. That if you were to intentionally commit a sin, عملت is different to فعلت. عملت means to intentionally commit a sin. سيئة التنوين عن سيئة meaning any sin. النكرة تفيد العموم. Any sin. Major sin, minor sin, you name it, as long as it's a sin. If you did intentionally, you committed any sin, what do you do? He said to him, فَأَتْبِعْهَا حَسَنَةً فَا Immediately, follow it up with a good deed, any kind of good deed, follow it up. Don't sit there and say, this is not the right time to ask Allah for forgiveness. There is no such thing as a bad, inappropriate time to make dhikr of Allah and to seek forgiveness of Allah. Even if you're halfway in your sin, there's no such thing. And if you're in halfway of your sin, you don't say, oh, this is a bad time to make dhikr and istighfar. Let me wait until I finish my sin and then I ask Allah for forgiveness. No, this is wrong. Who gave you this understanding? But that when you are committing the sin, that is when you need dhikr Allah. Say, can get you away from this desire, from this temptation. Because nothing would, because at that moment the heart is dead. And nothing would revive the heart other than dhikrullah. So, إذا عملت سيئة فأتبعها حسنة. Immediately follow up with a good deed. Any kind of good, do anything, anything. What's the result? تمحوها. It wipes it away. Then Abu Dharr رضي الله عنه, جزاه الله خيرا, he asked a very important question. He said to him, يا رسول الله, he said to him, أمن الحسنات لا إله إلا الله. It's from among the حسنات, saying لا إله إلا الله. That's a big question. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered him, but the answer is huge, it's incredible. He said to him, هي أفضل الحسنات. It is the best of the good deeds. Nothing is better than لا إله إلا الله. Nothing. You know why? Because the best and the best of the good deeds is the obligations. The most beloved deeds to Allah are the obligations. And on top of the list of the obligations is at-tawheed, which is la ilaha illallah. So as a result, it was the best of hasanat. And my brother in Islam, this means when you do a sin, say la ilaha illallah after it. There's a special effect with la ilaha illallah. When you combine it with sins, it dissolves the sins. Dissolves them. La ilaha illallah is like a sharp knife that cuts anything besides Allah in the heart. Because when someone commits a sin, it's a desire. It's a temptation in the heart that pushed him towards the sin. There's something in the heart other than Allah that pushed you to the sin. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't command people to commit sins. Allah doesn't command us to do that. So if you commit a sin, you followed someone else. You followed your nafs. You obeyed the shaitan. Allah Azza wa Jal said, يَا أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ أَلَمْ أَعَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمْ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Didn't I tell you, oh man, do not follow the shaitan. So you obeyed, you followed something. And then you need to cut that out of your heart. How do you do that? With la ilaha illallah. And la ilaha illallah can only come from the heart. And then uttered on the tongue. Why? The ulama, rahimahumullah, they said, لِأَنَّ حُرُوفَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ جَوْفِيَّةِ. The letters of la ilaha illallah are all internal letters. This is يعني, symbolic, and it implies the fact that it is supposed to come out min al-jawf. It comes out internally from inside, from the heart. And then it's uttered on the tongue. And you say, La ilaha illallah, after a sin, wallahi, it's as though you poured ice on something that is hot, because sins, they have heat to it. تُطْفِئُ الْخَطِيئَةَ كَمَا يُطْفِئُ الْمَاءُ النَّارِ. Oh, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, تَحْتَرِقُونَ تَحْتَرِقُونَ. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described sins, he compared them to fire. Someone burning. You know, if we put petrol and burn someone, what happens? He runs left and right. The only thing is, just turn me off right now. Or if not, just let me die from my misery. That's how sins are. But in the spiritual world, they're like this. We need to see them like this and deal with them like that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as mentioned in the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu, they were sitting in a gathering with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna la'inda Rasulillah. Idh. قال لنا هل فيكم غريب. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the question to the companions, is there a strange person among you? يعني, is there someone from أهل الكتاب? Is there a Christian or a Jew among us? قلنا لا يا رسول الله. No, there is not. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded someone to close the door of the masjid, and the door was closed. So he said to them, ارفعوا أيديكم وقولوا لا إله إلا الله. He said to them, raise your hands. Maybe raise your hand like this, raise your hand like that. Allahu a'lam, but raise your hand. And say la ilaha illallah. فَرَفَعْنَا أَيْدِيَنَا سَاعَةً. They raised their hand for an hour, saying la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, repeating it. فَوَضَعَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَدَهُ وَقَالْ. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand down, and he said to them, Alhamdulillah. اللهم إنك بعثتني بهذه الكلمة وأمرتني بها ووعدتني عليها الجنة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. He said to the congregation, Alhamdulillah, Oh Allah, you sent me to mankind with this word. And if it wasn't for this word, no prophet, nothing would have existed anyway. And you commanded me to adhere and to live my life by this word. Every word in the hadith is crucial. وَوَعَدْتَنِي عَلَيْهَا الْجَنَّةِ And you, oh Allah, promised me that if I was to live by this word, you admit me into the paradise. إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ You don't go against your promise. فَذَنَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to the congregation, أَبْشِرُوا Congratulations! فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ غَفَرَ لَكُمْ Allah Azza wa Jal has forgiven you from your sins with the word La ilaha illallah, the biggest of hasanat. And I conclude with one hadith and one final advice. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us that in our adhkar al-sabah wal-masa' we're supposed to say La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah lahul mulk wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir 100 times. 100 times. This 100 times could be divided during the day and the night. They don't have to be consecutive. You can say 50 in the day and 50 in the afternoon. But in one day you say it 100 times. And what's the result? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, number one, كَانَ It is equal in reward to as though you have freed 10 slaves from the children of Ismail. Yani, the slaves from the children of Ismail are the Arab slaves. And it was known that the Arab slave is much more expensive than any other slave because of the strength he has, the ability he has, and so on. The obedience he has to his master, the loyalty he has to his master. So he was more. But what does it mean that you free 10 slaves? What does that mean? For me and you, what does that mean? In another hadith, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he teaches us the reward of freeing a slave. He says that the reward of freeing a slave, for every limb of his you free, it is your freedom of Jahannam. Yani 10, you freed 10 slaves. This is your freedom from Jahannam 10 times. Did it cost you anything? La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Did you have to lift anything? Did you have to run and walk to something? Did you have to pay anything? Nothing. Cheap. Cheap. Solution from Allah Azza wa Jal, and we still don't value it. Did you say it today 100 times? Did you plan to say it 100 times? If I was to tell you free 10 slaves a day, the multimillionaire won't be able to do that for long. Might do it for a few years and then it's bankrupt. It's not costing you a dollar. Number two, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it earns a person 100 hasanat. Well, hasana is precious in Ramadan. Number three, it wipes away 100 sayyat. See where the goodness is? Who commits 100 sins a day? Yeah, who among us commits 100 sins a day? Yani the idea is even if you're committing 100 sins, there's your solution. Every morning to say it 100 times and it'll clean these 100 sins of yours. And then it raises a person 100 levels in the paradise. And then you are the best of mankind on the day of judgment, except someone who has said it more than you. He deserves to be in number one position. With Salaf rahimahumullah, that when we speak about that, do you think they said it 100 times? Salaf rahimahumullah, minimum 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 times a day. That's minimum of dhikrullah. And I'm giving you a reality. If you read the book, Sir A'lam al-Nubala, a huge book, it speaks about the biography of the Salaf, of a Sahaba, of a Tabi'een. When you read in their biography, you find, وَكَانَ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ how many times? And this one 600, 6,000 times, 5,000 times. Old woman, 10,000 times minimum. Quran reading, all of this dhikr, the biggest effect of it is that it doesn't only bring you closer to Allah, even though that's huge as a reward, but it cleans you from your sins. Which if you realized how big and how huge sins are, you would not waste a second in asking Allah for forgiveness and recalling your sins. And don't sit there and say, you really, if you sat there, tried to count your sins, you might not count much. Try it, do it. Sit. I tell you, get a paper and a pen, write your sins. You'll write a few things and then I can't remember. You know why? Because you don't know what the categories of sins are. Yani, who's asked Allah forgiveness from hypocrisy in the heart? Who dares to stand up and say, I don't have hypocrisy in my heart? Who dares to do it? Does anyone dare to do it? Umar radiallahu anhu, in a narration, he didn't dare. He's going after Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman to ask him that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned my name from among the hypocrites. Did you ask Allah forgiveness for any hypocrisy in the heart? From sins of the past that you left because you got bored of them. There's a difference between leaving a sin because you got bored of it and leaving a sin for Allah's sake. Someone used to smoke, then he realized smoking is bad for your health, so he left it because of that. That's not a tawbah. That's not a tawbah. Or because it cost me too much money that I had to give it up. What tawbah is that? Your tawbah is supposed to free you from the sin itself because Allah hates it. So when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, recall these matters, arrogance. Who can stand up right now and say, I don't have arrogance in my heart, I'm clean? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, an ant's weight of kibr in the heart bars a person from the paradise. Who can stand and say, I don't have arrogance? Who? I can't do it. No one can do it. And the one who does is sick. These are sins. These are our sins. They're huge. For you need to value what it means that Allah is offering us moments and opportunities of forgiveness and seize them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a true appreciation of what forgiveness means. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala through His name, Al-Ghaffar, Al-Ghafoor, Al-Wadood, Al-Rahim, Al-Rahman, that He forgives our sins. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد هذا وصلوا وسلموا رحمكم الله على خير البرية وأزكى البشرية محمد بن عبد الله صاحب الحوض والشفاعة فقد أمركم الله تعالى بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه وثنى بملائكته المسبحة بقدسه وأيها بكم أيها المؤمنون فقال عز من قائل إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون